Thousand Hills Ranch Church, we ride for life change. We pray that this message may bring life change for you.
I've been in a series called Unconditional, and today I want to wrap this series up. Some of you guys are like, praise the Lord, we're going to stop talking about hurt. Well, I believe that this series has been an awesome series. Just for me personally, I feel like God has allowed me to experience some healing in my life, some forgiveness that needed to take place. He revealed some of that through this series, and some reconciliation that needed to happen, happened in my life, and I hope it happened in your life because of what the Lord has taught us through this series. A few of the things that we've learned so far, number one was this, and you can go back and listen to it online, but number one was, even though we follow the King, even though we follow Jesus, we can still get hurt. How many of you guys know this to be true? Raise your hand. Yeah, even though you're following Jesus, you can still get hurt. But here's the cool thing about the King Jesus that we serve. The King can cover our butts. Our butts, literally. Our buttocks. He can cover our butts. When we get, hurt, when, people expose, maybe certain weaknesses, or they make fun of us, or, they do certain things to us to hurt us, again, Jesus comes along and he says, hey, I can heal that. Hey, I can cover that. Hey, I'll give you a place of refuge so you can heal from your hurt, right? That's what the King does. Praise God for that, amen? I mean, that's a great thing. The third thing that we've learned was we have to stop keeping record and start losing count. And you say, what does that mean? Well, when people wrong us, when they hurt us, when they do certain things to us, we have to stop keeping record of all those wrongs. Remember the tally book? I mean, some of us have a tally book. Maybe we don't write them down literally, but we write them down in our mind and we keep these tallies of all the things that people have done wrong to us, right? Well, the Bible says, don't keep record of wrongs. Stop losing, stop keeping record and start losing count. You say, what do you mean lose count? That means you lose the count of how many times you've had to forgive them, right? You say, how many times do I need to forgive them? Well, the Bible says, Jesus said 70 times 7, so 490 times. That's not what he meant, really, but he meant infinitely we're supposed to forgive him. So we have to stop keeping record and start losing count. And then the fourth thing that we learned a week ago was love never gives up. Never gives up. And so the people that have hurt you, you don't need to give up on them. You need to reconcile with them so that they can, have a right relationship with you and you can have a right relationship with Jesus. Well, like I say, I want to wrap this series up. And I want to teach you something that again, I believe that God can use in your heart to change your life and when it comes to hurt. I have a great friend. His name is Jeremy Freeman. Some of you guys know I've posted certain things on, this isn't him, by the way, this is his dad. But I have a friend, his name's Jeremy Freeman, he's a pastor in Newcastle, and he had a son who was in a car wreck, and has really come a long ways. He was hit by a semi, and just a life-devastating kind of a deal, but he lived through it, and he's recovering. You can follow me on Facebook, and you can find out all about him. But that was that's one of my best friend's sons. Well, my best friend's dad, his name is Ken Freeman. Anybody ever heard of Ken Freeman? Yeah, a couple people have heard of Ken Freeman. Ken Freeman is the Billy Graham, is the crazy Billy Graham. So Ken Freeman, I'll give you a little bit of his history, though, because it hasn't always been. He's an evangelist, by the way. And you say, well, what is that? Well, that's a guy that travels around and preaches the gospel no matter where he's at. Like people, they'll hire him and say, hey, come preach 3 or 4 days in my church. Come preach at a camp. Come preach, at my church or, at the schools. He goes to the schools and he preaches the gospel. And I'll give you some background about him, though, because it hasn't always been easy for Ken Freeman. Ken grew up in a family, and his dad walked out when he was 4 years old. Some of you guys can relate to this. His mom was an alcoholic. He had 9 stepfathers. Some of you guys are like, I only had 4. He's got me on that. He had 9 stepfathers. He was abused sexually, physically. This is the guy right here. Abused sexually, physically, emotionally, and mentally. In his career in schools, he went to 24 different schools. He went to 5 high schools his senior year. You thought you were in transit, right? 5 high schools his senior year. He lived on the streets. He lived in cars. He lived in bars. He lived in alleys. He took his first drink of alcohol when he was 9 years old and was in jail by the time he was a teenager. this guy right here. And you say, well, what, you know, how did all that happen? Well, needless to say, all of the stuff that he went through, again, the hurt, the pain, the bitterness, I mean, all of that was a part of his life. But then God got a hold of his life. And through one decision to follow Jesus, it changed him forever. I've been around this man. He has a gift of evangelism. And again, if you don't know what evangelism is, it means when he speaks, people just seem to, they just seem to want to come to Christ. They come to Christ. I've been around when he's preached sermons, and there is hundreds of people that walk the aisles or come down, and they want to give their life to Jesus. And so for now, over 30 years, this man has preached the gospel. He's led revivals and churches, you know, thousands of different times, and led thousands of different people to Christ. And so, and here's a famous quote that I've heard him say. He says this: God can take a mess and make a message. Think about it. I mean, 9 stepfathers, I mean, you know, 24 different schools, 5 schools his senior year. God can take a mess and make a message. Here's another phrase that he uses. Those that have been wounded deeply, God can use greatly. And you say, well, what's the point? Well, I believe what happened in Ken's life is what God wants to see happen in our lives. And so here's number 5. This is the thing we're going to end this series on, and it's this: God allows the worst to happen to us to bring out the best in us. Think about it. God allows the worst to happen to us to bring out the best in us. Like Ken Freeman, God allows people to betray us, to abandon us, to hurt us, and they just, you know, seem to get the best of us sometimes. And if we haven't, you know, given our lives to Jesus, then we believe that this can ruin us, right? I mean, all the hurt, all the pain, we actually think that it can ruin us. But in the end, if we know God and if we've trusted in God, it can actually bring out the best in us. Some of you guys have maybe been here in your life. You've experienced something that was most, you know, the worst thing to happen in your life, and out of it came the best thing ever. There's another character in the Bible. His name's Joseph. I'll give you a recap of his life because it's an amazing story, and I'm not going to read it, but it's in Genesis chapter 37. And I'll just tell you about Joseph's life. I mean, he was a little kid, right? He was the second youngest son of 12 brothers, but he was his father's favorite. How many of you guys were your parents' favorite? Yeah, you can admit it. You guys can admit it. No, you were? I think your brother was. I'm just kidding. Joseph was his father's favorite. I mean, he had 12 brothers, right? He was the second youngest of 12 brothers. And he even got a fancy robe. His dad gave him a robe. I think of the coat of many colors, the Dolly Parton. Remember that? You know, the coat of many colors. She was, you know, the favorite child and went on to do all kinds of cool stuff. But Joseph had this fancy robe that his father gave him. And because he was the favored one, obviously he had brothers, and obviously they were jealous. How many of you guys have ever had a jealous brother? Come on. We all have jealous brothers, right? I was the baby of the family, so I might have been a little bit favored. My brothers were a little bit jealous, I would imagine. They'll never admit that, but I know it's true. His brothers were jealous of him, and they hated him. But there's another gift that he had. He had the gift of interpreting dreams. And he has a dream about his brothers that they're going to bow down to him, and they're going to, you know, and he's going to rule over them. Now, I don't know about you, but this is one of my dreams too. How many of you guys have ever, you're like, oh, my brothers, oh, come on. And one of these days, they're going to bow. I've had that dream. It's never come true. But I've had that same dream. And so he has this dream, and God shows him that one day his brothers are going to bow to him, and he's going to rule over them. And guess what? His brothers hated him. He actually told his brothers. That would even be better, right? To tell your brothers, hey, guys, you're going to bow to me, and I'm going to rule over you. And they're like, I hate you even more, right? And so his brothers hated him, and here's what they plan to do. They actually plan to kill him. But one of his brothers was bright enough and smart enough to know that if they killed him, I mean, again, that's the worst of the worst. So they decided to sell him. I don't know about you, but that I would love to have sold my brothers. I know, my dad, he got onto me this past week, actually, by the way. I talked to him on the phone. He's like, so you keep referring to your brothers as Satan and Lucifer in your sermons. I feel like there's some bitterness that you have to get rid of. I'm like, Dad, it's a joke. Just take it as a joke. But they were pretty mean to me, and it would have been fun to sell them. But here's the thing. They had this bright idea that, hey, we're going to sell him. We're not going to kill him, because, again, I don't know how we'd cover that up, but we're going to sell him, and then we're going to tell, you know, our father that a wild, ferocious animal killed him, right? So the story goes on. The brothers sold their brother to some gypsies for 20 shekels. You say, well, what is 20 shekels in American dollars? $5.56. How awesome is that? I mean, he wasn't worth like 10 bucks. So they sold him to some gypsies for 20 shekels. They took his fancy robe and they dipped it in goat's blood, and they told their father Jacob that he was killed by a ferocious animal. Well, later on in the story, Joseph is sold again to an Egyptian official in Pharaoh's palace. And while he's in the, you know, palace, being a slave in the palace, he's actually accused of rape, and he gets thrown in prison. And so while he's in prison, guess what? The gift of interpreting dreams comes to him again, and he correctly interprets some of the prisoner's dreams in prison. Well, guess what? Pharaoh has a dream. The big guy, Pharaoh, the Pharaoh of Egypt has a dream, and he finds out through the guys that were in prison. They got out of prison, and they went to Pharaoh and said, hey, Pharaoh, we got this guy in prison. His name's Joseph, and he can interpret your dreams. He can tell you what your dreams mean. And so Pharaoh summoned Joseph out of prison and brings Joseph in, and Joseph interprets his dreams. And you say, well, what was the dream? What was it about? Well, the dream was that Egypt would have 7 years of prosperity, and then they would have 7 years of famine. And so then Joseph said, hey, because this is going to happen, Pharaoh, I believe that you ought to put someone in charge of collecting all the food for 7 years of prosperity and collecting it, so when 7 years of famine hit, then you'll be ready for the famine. In Genesis chapter 41, you can read about that. And this is where God took the worst thing that ever happened to Joseph and turns it around. If Pharaoh was so moved by what Joseph interpreted and what he said that he made Joseph, listen to this, he made Joseph second in command, only to Pharaoh. So you get it? He sold to a gypsy, right? I mean, he sold to the gypsies, then he's sold as a slave. He lives in prison for 13 years. He lives in prison. He interprets a dream of Pharaoh. Pharaoh puts him second in command. And you say, well, what else happened? Well, later on in the story, prosperity does come for 7 years. And then the 7 years of famine comes. And just like Joseph said, it would happen. And so they were prepared. They had all the food stored up. And guess who showed up later? His brothers. Here they are. They're like starving to death. I mean, it's a famine, right? And they need food. And so they show up in front of Joseph. And the very own brothers that sold him, that allowed him to be enslaved for 13 years, that allowed him to be put into prison for a crime that he didn't even commit. And they're standing in front of Joseph. But guess what? They didn't recognize him. I don't know about you. That would have been cool, too, to be like in front of your brothers and they're like, hey, you know, can we have some food? And I'm like, hold on just a second. And so here's this Joseph. I mean, he's second in command. He's powerful. I mean, he's the second most powerful man in the world. And his brothers who sold him are standing in front of him. And he could have done anything that he wanted. I don't know about you, but I would have played with him for a little while. I would have done something to maybe just, you know, get back to him for a little while. And he does. He does a few things. But through it all, he could have given them death. He could have put them in prison. He could have had them beaten. He could have made them his slaves, right? But he didn't. I mean, he had a choice. He could have done whatever he wanted to him. He could have treated him bad, all that stuff, or he could have loved them like he had never been hurt. Well, Joseph chooses to love them like he had never been hurt. He reveals his true identity to him, and he forgives his brothers. And look at Genesis chapter 50, verse 20. And you can say the underlined words with me. He says to this, he says to his brothers, he says, "You intended to what? To harm me, but God intended it all for what? He intended it all for good. He brought me to this position so that I could save the lives of many people." Do you see what just happened? I mean, Joseph, he experienced the worst kind of a hurt. I mean, it was his own family that betrayed him. He was hurt by those who were supposed to love him most. But listen, God used the hate to bring some good and brought out the best in Joseph. He brought out the best in him. I need you to grab a hold of this because it's powerful. And here's what I want you to realize about God and about your life. God doesn't intend for our hurt to destroy us. Think about it. I mean, when we face pain and we face all these things in life and we get hurt, he doesn't intend for our hurt to destroy us. He intends for our hurt to bring out the best in us. I mean, think about it. You're faced with the worst situations of your life, and he desires for you to bring out the best in you. And you say, well, okay, Bo, if God allows the worst to happen to us and to bring out the best in us, what is the best in us? What is it? I mean, if I'm faced with, you know, again, hurt and pain and abandonment and woundedness and all those things, and I'm supposed to bring out the best in me, or I'm supposed to allow the best in me to be brought out, what is the best in me? I'll give you the answer, and I'm going to give you a few key thoughts, and I'll be done. The answer is this: the best in us is Jesus. Again, I don't know about you, but I can't do anything without Jesus. I mean, some of you guys have been hurt more than I could ever even imagine. Can I just tell you this? If you want the best to come out of you, the best comes out of you when you know Jesus. I want you to look at a scripture in Romans chapter 5. Look at it with me. It says, "Therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what? Jesus Christ our Lord has done for us. Because of our faith, Christ has brought us into a place of undeserved privilege where we now stand, and we confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing God's glory. We can rejoice too, listen to this, when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they will help us develop what? Endurance. And endurance develops strength of what? Character. And character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. And this hope will not lead to disappointment." This hope will not lead to disappointment. Here's the thing. On our worst day, Jesus can bring out the best in us. Amen? He can bring out the best in us. I mean, again, he has given his life so that we can have the power to overcome the hurt, the wounds, and all those things that we're going to face in the future. Listen to how amazing Jesus is and what he can produce in us. In Colossians chapter 1, look at it with me. It says, Christ is the what? And he's the invisible image of an invisible God. He exists before anything was created and is what? Supreme over all creation. For through him, God created what?
Everything.
In the heavenly realms and on earth. He made things we can see and the things we can't see, such as thrones, kingdoms, rulers, and authorities in unseen world. Everything was created through him. And for him, he existed before anything else, and he holds all of creation together. Christ is the head of the church, which is the body. He is the beginning, supreme over all who rise from the dead, so that his what? He is the what? Are we up there? So he is the first. Sorry, Stan. This is a little, hey, is you guys bifocals working? So he is the what? The first in everything. For God is in all his fullness was pleased to live in Christ, and through him, God reconciled everything to himself. I know this is long, but listen to it. He made what?
Peace.
He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of Christ's blood on the cross. This includes who?
You.
This includes you, who were once far away from God. You were enemies, separated from him by your evil thoughts and actions. Yet now he has reconciled you to himself through the death of Christ in the physical body. As a result, he has brought you into his own presence, and you are now what?
Holy
and blameless as you stand before him without a single fault. You say, what does all that mean? Well, because Christ is the ruler of the world, because he's the most supreme being ever to be, you know, a part of this life, a part of this world, and because he knows hurt and pain firsthand, and he went to the cross so that we could be forgiven, guess what? He is the best in us. He's the best in us. And so when the worst things happen to us, because Jesus is the best thing in us, guess what? Through him, the best can come out of any situation. One of the things that I've learned in recent years or months is that, you know, through some of the pain that I've, you know, experienced, the hurt that I've experienced, that God has allowed to come into my life, guess what? Through the worst hurt, only because of Jesus, the best can come out in me. It's only because of Jesus. And you say, what is the best coming out in you? Give me an example of that. Well, when your heart is crushed, I mean, some of you guys have experienced a crushed heart. When your heart is crushed, Jesus can change your heart. He can turn your hurt into healing. He can turn your hate into love. He can turn your bitterness into blessing. He can change your heart. Some of you guys are hopeless today. Some of you guys are like, you know, I don't even know Jesus. I've never turned to Jesus in my time of hurt. Listen, he can change your heart. He's the only one who can. You can turn to sex, drugs, alcohol, all those things. Money, job, you know, success, fame, all those things. And they'll never heal your heart. Only Jesus can do that. He can also, you know, when your circumstances are bad, guess what? He can change the way you think about your circumstances. I mean, I don't know if you've been in terrible circumstances, but, you know, there's been times in my life where I felt like circumstances were terrible, right? I felt like this is the end. I want to give up. This is, you know, I can't handle this anymore. But listen, if you know Jesus, guess what? He can change your circumstances. He can change them. He can give you hope when you're hopeless. He can give you delight when you're dreading the day, and you can see the purpose for your pain. That's what he can do. You say, well, you know, what else? Well, when you're surrounded by people who don't like you, I mean, I don't know if you go to work every day and everybody loves you and all that, but I would say that's probably not true. When you're surrounded by people who don't like you or people that have hurt you, guess what? He can turn your enemies into an instrument that God can use to change your life and their life. I mean, he can change it. He can change the way you view people that have hurt you. And our enemies, again, they become the instruments to help teach us the greatest lessons in life. And so the Jesus in us is the best in us. And so when you face those worst times in your life, guess what? The best in us comes from Jesus. Therefore, listen to this. This is the second thought. If Jesus is the best in us, we must trust him even though. Think about it. Even though it's dry and we don't have rain. Even though my mom left when I was a kid. Even though, I mean, think about Joseph. I mean, even though he was sold by his brothers, even though he was enslaved, even though he was in prison, Joseph trusted God, and the best came out of Joseph. I mean, his faith was increased. His trust was tried and true. His integrity was revealed. His pain had a purpose, even though he went through all those worst of times. There's another character in the Bible. His name's Job. We talked about Job before, but Job went through hell and back, right? The devil said, hey, I want to test Job. And God said, okay, you can test him, but you can't kill him. So the devil did all kinds of stuff to Job, took pretty much everything away from him. I mean, he even, you know, his wife told him to, you know, just curse God and die. I mean, that's bad when your wife says, hey, just curse God and die, right? And so the worst happened to him. The devil did everything but kill him. and he felt like dying, but listen to the faithfulness that Job had even through the worst season of his life. In Job chapter 13, verse 15, what are the first two words? Even though he, who is God, kills me, I will continue to what? Hope in him. Even though God allows all this stuff to happen to me, even though I'm going through this season of life, even though I've lost everything, even though my body is being attacked, my hope is in God. Listen, God wants you to have that same hope. Some of you are here today, and again, you're going through a season of life that is the worst part or the worst season of your life. Listen, God is your hope. Even though you're going through that, even though they hurt you, even though, you know, they hate you, even though they tear you down, even though they, you know, they spread rumors or, you know, you lose everything or you don't feel like it, even though God loves you. God loves you. And even though somebody hurts you, you can have the strength to love like you've never been hurt. And so we have to trust the Jesus in us, even though. And this is the last thing. For the best to come out of us, we have to have the best in us. Think about that. For the best to come out of you, you have to have the best in you. You know Joseph, you know what he had? He had a relationship with God. You know Job, you know what he had? He had a relationship with God. The best was produced in them because they had a personal relationship with God. Listen to Romans 8, chapter 8, verse 28. It says this, and we know that God causes everything to work together for the what? For the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. Listen, if you have any hope in overcoming the worst parts of your life, if you have any hope in overcoming a hopeless situation, it's because you have to have Jesus in your life. Now listen, you can come to church, you can be religious, you can be a moral person, but that's not going to get you into heaven, and it's not going to give you the power that you need to overcome the things in life. You have to have a personal relationship with Jesus. Without Jesus, we will never be able to love others unconditionally. Without him, we will never be able to forgive. Without him, the best will never come out of us. And we will be a slave to our sin, the bitterness, the pain, the hurt. You're going to be a slave to those things. And so here's the question. Do you have the best in you? Do you have Jesus in your life? Is he the savior of your life? Have you accepted him as your personal Lord and Savior? I'm going to ask you to bow your head and close your eyes for just a second. Again, maybe you're here today and you're experiencing heartache, you're experiencing pain, you're experiencing the hurt because someone has let you down. Listen, there is a God who loves you. There is a God who sent Jesus Christ to this earth so that he could live for 33 years and then be crucified so that you could be set free from your shame, from your hurt, from your pain, and from your sin. And listen, his name is Jesus. And so some of you are here today and you are maybe in a season of life where it's full of pain, it's full of hurt. Some people have hurt you, they've let you down, they've wounded you. Again, I don't know every situation, but I would imagine that there are people in this room that are in that situation. Can I just tell you, all your hope is in Jesus. It's in Jesus. Again, you can go through this life, you can try to chase other things, you can try to fill your life with other things, but the hurt will never be healed until you know Jesus. And so maybe you're here today and you've never given your life to Jesus. Can I just tell you, he wants a personal relationship with you. He wants you to surrender all the pain, surrender all the hurt, to give it all to Him. He wants you to give it up. He doesn't want you to hold on to it anymore. He wants you to be released by it. He wants you to be forgiven. And He wants you to be able to forgive other people. So again, maybe you're here today and you need the best in you. And it comes from Jesus. You say, "But how do I know Jesus? How do I come to know Jesus? How do I give my life to Him?" Well, again, the Bible says, "All who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And you say, "What does that mean?" Well, that means that you just call upon Him. You just cry out to Him, and you just give Him all the pain. You just turn it all over and just hand it all over to Him. And He can take away your sin. He can take away your pain and your shame. And so today, I want to give you an opportunity to do that. It's called a prayer of salvation. And it's not, and there's no special words. It's just a matter of your heart and giving your life to Jesus. And so maybe in your chair, in your heart right now, you just want to pray this prayer with me. Jesus, I'm hurting. Jesus, I'm going through things and I can't handle them. I can't handle the things that have come to me through my family. I can't handle the things that have come to me through my friends. I can't handle the pain and the hurt and the wounds. And so today, I am surrendering my life to You. Come into my life. Forgive me of my sin. I trust in You today. Listen, maybe you just prayed that prayer for the very first time. Nobody's looking around, but would anybody just say, "You know what, Bo, I did. I just prayed that prayer in my heart for the very first time." Would you just raise your hand? Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you. Listen, those of you that just raised your hand, again, you've made the best decision that you'll ever make in your life. A decision to surrender your life to Jesus. And all the things that you think are going to ruin you, guess what? You have hope now. You have strength now. You have endurance. You have the power of the living God living inside of you now. And He's going to be able to help you overcome the worst seasons of your life. And so we praise God that you gave your life to Jesus today. And we thank God for that. Here in a second, Heather's going to come and show you how you can connect with our church so that you can grow in your new relationship with Christ. Some of you are here today, and again, you know Christ, but the best isn't coming out of you. When you face, trials, when you face hurt, when you face pain, when you face that enemy of yours, the best doesn't come out of you. For some reason, Jesus doesn't have all of your life. He doesn't have your mouth, your mind, your heart. He's not in control of your life. And so maybe you're here today and you know Him, but you're not following Him. You're not surrendering everything to Him. Listen, my challenge to you is to give it all. Give it all to Him. Surrender it all. Again, if you need to reconcile with someone, go reconcile with them so that you can have a right relationship, not only with them, you can have a right relationship with God. And so allow God to release you of the bitterness, the anger, and to give you forgiveness and love. And so some of you may need to rededicate your life to Jesus, to surrender everything to Him so that He can work in your life and bring out the best in you. My prayer is that you would do that today, that you would make that commitment to say, "Okay, Lord, I know I'm living for myself, but I'm going to stop doing that. I know the worst comes out of me when this situation happens. I'm going to stop doing that. I'm going to give my life to You and give it all to You. And I need Your strength to allow the best to come out of me when I face the worst things in life." So maybe, again, you need to make that commitment and you need to give God all of you so that the best can come out of you. Listen, today has been a special day. I believe that God has spoken to many lives, and we've seen lives saved today. And so we rejoice and we praise God for the decisions that have been made today. Here's what I want to do. I want to close this in a word of prayer, and then Heather's going to come. She's going to, again, share with you how you can connect with our church and some of the things that are coming up in our church. But I want to thank you for being here today. Lord, we praise you. We give you the glory because you have given us the strength and the power to overcome the pain and the hurt and to love people unconditionally. And so I praise you for that. Lord, I thank you for healing the hurt in my life and healing the hurt in everyone else's life that has turned their life over to you. And Lord, for those that have asked you into their life today, I thank you for that because they made a decision that's going to last for eternity. Their eternity went from a destiny of destruction to a destiny of heaven. And so we praise you for the decisions that were made today. And we thank you for each person that's here to hear your word every Sunday. And I pray that they would walk out of here changed, ready to allow the best to come out of them. And so, Lord, we praise you and we thank you. It's in your holy name I pray. Amen.
Thousand Hills is blessed that you have chosen to join us today and listen to this message. If you feel led to make a change, please contact us at 580-216-6427 or join us online at thousandhillsranch.church. At Thousand Hills, we ride by a code that believes that it is more blessed to give than to receive. If you feel led to give, you can go to the Give tab on our website and give your tithe today. Thank you. God bless.